Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Happy Halloween from Overnight America.
I think we're going to be playing Monster Mash every hour tonight. I want to thank our special guest, Stanley Fish, who joined us to talk about the First Amendment in his new book called The First. There was really a great discussion, which you can find in our podcast by going to KMOX.com/ONA. I'm also on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And too bad we don't have the cameras working anymore, because I'd be doing the little Monster Mash dance right now for everyone to enjoy.
To my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster.
Kind of like the twist almost.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
So we got two big games up right now. Did Petrangelo just score? Was that him? Let's take a look. So the Blues are just down the road here at the Enterprise Center. Ooh! We're watching that on NBC Sports. And then, of course, Fox has the World Series Game 7 going on the other TV. And if you're listening to this on the replay hour, I'm sorry, because all these games will be over by the time you hear it. But that looked like a video game goal, exactly how you'd score it in NHL whatever. So, spoiler alert, I'm going to give you the scores on both of these. Blues up 2-1 over Minnesota. That's in the third. Our paranormal investigator, John Lindsay's at this game. He may have to leave the game early to come down and do some ghost talk with us tonight. He's going to be on for 2 hours. We're going to talk on the eve of the Halloween. Nah, no one says it that way. But he's coming in starting at 10 o'clock, just another hour from here, but maybe you're listening to this on replay after midnight. You can go back to the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. World Series just went to commercial. Is it 2-0 last time I checked? Okay, so Houston's up 2-0 at home. Bottom of the sixth. Watching that 1-2. And local pitcher Scherzer on the mound. Is he still pitching, or is he? Last time I checked, he was maybe at 70 or 80 pitches somewhere in there. We'll see if he's still up there. Very exciting sports night there. So this hour, we got a lot to get to, and it's not just going to be all Monster Mash. We'll talk about political wokeness, one of the unlikely people talking about it right now. I wanted to start with this. All right, when I read this headline, I laughed, and I'm still laughing reading this. So I got to ask just real quick, Producer Mike, just one quick question for you. I always forget this guy's title. Not Stephen Portnoy. Who's the leader of Barstool Sports that was here in St. Louis during the Stanley Cup final? What was his name again? Is it? Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
Dave Portnoy.
And what's his name with the company? It's the president or something like that?
Yeah.
The president is his nickname. I immediately thought of him when I heard what this one athlete said. And I thought this is something he would say just to get people all riled up. So you may recognize the name. It's a cyclist by the name of Rachel McKinnon, transgender, born a male. But because Rachel McKinnon identifies as a female, competes with the females when it comes to cycling, and continues to win gold after gold in these cycling events in the age category, and just blowing out world records and beating all of this. And let me read this quote to you, Producer Mike, and I want you to tell me if you could keep a straight face when this person says that. So Rachel McKinnon, don't forget, born a male, identifies as a female, competes as a female, wins gold medals for women's cycling, representing Canada across the world right now. This is what Rachel said. Women who can't beat me are losers.
I mean, I don't laugh. It kind of just pisses me off.
It's angry.
Other women.
You've got to be kidding. I don't think the person is out there trying to antagonize or try to play like the heel. Just honestly believes, as a male, competing with females, blowing these world records out of the water, saying that there is no advantage to being a male competing against females in these professional sports and these competitions, says, any woman that can't beat me, they're just a bunch of losers. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. So this is something that they said on Twitter. Let me read you the quote here. Hold on. It says, the debate is over. You lost. Your feelings don't trump our rights and basic human dignity. Get a better hobby. And then blah, 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 blah. Let's see. And then they go on. So out there already trying to push things a little bit further, maybe poke it a little bit. Goes on to say, I have yet to meet a real champion who has a problem with trans women. Real champions want stronger competition. If you win because bigotry got your competition banned, you're a loser. So, AKA, if you win because you believe that men shouldn't compete with women, biological men shouldn't compete with women because there are differences between biological men and women. If you believe that and that's the only way you're going to be able to win in that competition because, you know, there wasn't a man on that cycle inside of that competition, then you're a loser. Oh, this is too much. I feel this is going to be the thing to tip even anyone reasonable looking at cases like this. You know, it comes to even weightlifting. You find that there are biological men that are competing in the women's categories in weightlifting and dominating and smashing all world records because sometimes the competitions and the rules of the competition would allow it because they got to be politically correct or woke or they feel like that's the right thing to do. Okay. And then all of the women that have been competing and spending all of this time realize that it is impossible for them to compete with a biological man are very upset about this. Because they don't think that their natural advantages should be the determining factor for that competition. Okay. Now, part of this, too, is the reasonable person would look at this and say, okay, this is not right, right? This is, we should address this. Maybe there are some problems and flaws with this sort of logic when it comes to saying that if you're born a man, you're allowed to compete with the women and there's no difference between the two. Okay. But then there's other people that are even pretty woke by today's standards. You look at the college students or just out of college, the ones that would try to, I mean, they've been indoctrinated. They've been hearing the same messages, the same beats. They've been following the same far left leaning ideology and commentators and opinion pieces, or they've been around the same, you know, hacky sack circles and bonfires and whatever. And then even they, I believe, are starting to turn the corner and say, okay. So you're at the point where you're calling them losers because they can't beat you? Maybe you cool your jets. Sky News, the female reporter at Sky News, she was interviewing Rachel McKinnon and asking Rachel about some of these different issues because, you know, part of competing for Team Canada means you travel abroad and compete in different countries, including in the UK.
What, as you understand it, is their problem with you competing?
I'm legally and medically female, but the people who oppose my existence still want to think of me as male. They use the language of that I'm a man. And so there's this stereotype that men are always stronger than women. And so if you think of trans women as men, then you think there's an unfair advantage.
There's this stereotype that always, okay, you can say that word always. I'm sure there are women, many women in this world that are stronger than I am. I am not a bodybuilder, but there are some that compete and do all of this. Sure, you can say always. Generally speaking, and you're talking about people that are competing at a high level. So if you're representing a country and going overseas and traveling and doing these things at a high level, you're talking about people that are actively out there at a competition level. You're telling me that all is equal? You know, it's kind of interesting because even the reporter for Sky News challenged that and said, well, if you look at the way the records sit today, there's some major differences. If all things were equal, then wouldn't all of the world records be equal between the men's and women's divisions?
We talk about men being faster than women. We have to be very careful what we're talking about. So the example you gave was at the most...
In speed and strength sports, they have a 10% to 12% advantage in most scientific opinions.
At the elite level, right? So when we look at the very best athletes in men and women, you see this roughly 10 to 12% gap. But if we're talking about like the average man, no,
but
that's
when
not
we're
true.
Talking about the IOC, we're talking about the elite level, aren't we?
Of course. if you look within a single sex event, the difference between first and eighth is very large. And the difference between first and first between sexes is often smaller than the difference between first and eighth within a sex.
I'm just going to take a shenanigans call on this really quick, mostly because I'm just going to say, generally speaking, and this may make me sound chauvinistic, but it's just truth. I got to say, practically speaking, I've moved at a lot of different places. It's always the guys that move the heavy stuff. Just saying. Just saying.
So by that logic, would you not have male or female categories whatsoever?
I think that's a great question. I think that's a different question. So I think it's not...
Yeah, it's because all of a sudden this individual, Rachel, would find that being categorized and competing with people of the same biological sex, then all of a sudden you don't even make it. Yeah, you'd be a loser. Yeah, based on her own words, you wouldn't be able to compete. Rachel would be a loser based on her own standard. I still can't believe, I cannot believe that as a biological man would say any woman that can't compete with me, they're just sore because I'm a winner and they're a loser. I can't believe that. This is how far it's gotten. And you know what? Sometimes you wait for these moments to tip the scales back. It's something's got to be so absurd that people realize, all right, come on now. Come on now. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Happy Halloween from Overnight America.
You want to be culturally woke.
I know, I do. I'm just not woke enough.
You want to be culturally woke.
All right, any woke people out there that want to call, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Going to give a spoiler alert here. Houston versus Washington, Game 7 of the World Series, top of the 7th. No outs. Oh, hold on, there might be one here. Let's see. They get them? One out. So Houston's up 2-0 right now. And boy, is this a tight one. We're also watching the Blues game just down the road from us here. And what a night in sports. And then after that, baseball is done. Next thing you know, just countdown to spring training for the Cardinals. I wanted to also note you can call 800-925-1120. This will be my last show of the week. I'm going to be out tomorrow night. I know some people love hearing that news. But I'll be in next Sunday, so I'll just have a couple of days off. I have Thursday night off for Halloween. I worked a double duty this Monday, so I get to pick the day I get off, and I picked Thursday because I thought it'd be fun to go trick-or-treating. But you know what? I probably won't get to anyway. If it's 25 degrees out, I don't know if I want to take my kid through that. So Bo Matthews is going to be filling in. That'll be fun. Or Clint Hossie's going to fill in? Oh, never mind then. Someone's filling in. Someone told me Bo Matthews the other day. So it might be Clint Hossie. That'd be great if Clint was filling in. I haven't talked to Clint in months. Oh, I love him. He's going to have a great time doing this. Oh, what happened? Washington hit a home run. Anthony Rendon hit a home run. Now it's 2-1 with one out in the top of the 7th. So still a one ball game, one run game. All right, let's talk wokeness. You want to know who is getting a little bit tired of wokeness right now? Take a guess. You had to guess all the people. Well, there's probably a lot of people. But President Barack Obama, getting a little bit. He's saying, why don't you lay off the call-out culture? He says, this is not activism. I can't do a good President Obama. I do a much better Bernie Sanders.
This idea of purity and you're never compromised and you're always politically woke and all that stuff. You should get over that quickly. The world is messy. There are ambiguities. People who do really good stuff have flaws. People who you are fighting may love their kids.
What do you mean, may love their kids? Yeah, throw some shade on that. Oh, they may love their kids. You know, why don't you just, you don't have to play the fence on everything. You can say, you know, the people you like have flaws. People you dislike still love their family. You can say those things with some pretty easy confidence, right? Like, no one's going to go after you for saying, oh, not everyone. Well, maybe they, well, you know what? Maybe the whole thing is we're so used to wokeness, you just assume everyone's going to go out there and be upset if you generalize.
One danger I see among young people, particularly on college camps, is Malia and I talk about this. Yara goes to school with my daughter. But I do get a sense sometimes now among certain young people, and this is accelerated by social media, there is this sense sometimes of the way of me making change is to be as judgmental as possible about other people. And that's enough. Like if I tweet or hashtag about how you didn't do something right or used the word wrong verb, or then I can sit back and feel pretty good about myself. Because, man, you see how woke I was? I called you out.
You see how woke I was?
You know, I like that's that. That's not activism. That's not bringing about change. You know, if all you're doing is casting stones, you know, you're probably not going to get that far.
Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, look how woke I was. Look how woke. That's the society we have today. They got to just be the wokest on the block. Remember when you were growing up and you might have had the first on the block? That was the thing, right? Oh, I had the first TV on our block and all the kids come over to check out the television. Oh, it was the greatest thing ever. Oh, man, when we got the new car, we were the first one having this, the minivan or the truck or whatever. Oh, we were the first ones to have this or that. And people would go, if they had these memories of just all the other neighbors being in awe of having the one thing, the first kid on the block was something. And that was a big deal. Now, you want to be the first one to go out there and cast the stone so people can look at you. And for some reason, you believe that they're praising you. Oh, man, look how you're the wokest on the block, the first and the wokest on the block. That's funny. And President Barack Obama, to be the one to say it, I don't know if they'll listen to him, but hey, how about that? Good for him to mention these sort of things. You know who said it over the weekend was comedian Dave Chappelle.
We talked with several joke-telling pros about comedy in the...
I already hate this lady. Joke-telling pros!
In the Trump era and whether political...
That's kind of like when I try to sound hip when I'm really not.
Political correctness has gone too far. Here's what Chappelle himself had to say.
Political correctness has its face, its place, excuse me. We all want to live in a polite society. We just have to kind of work on the levels and come to an agreement of what that actually looks like. I personally am not afraid of other people's freedom of expression. I don't use it as a weapon. It just makes me feel better. And I'm sorry if I hurt anybody, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. Everything I'm supposed to say.
Yada, yada, yada. Everything I'm supposed to say. Throws that in at the end for a little added extra effect. Yeah, what's the encouraging thing with all of this is some high-profile names and people and entertainers and comedians, they realize that as many have either leaned into it or have removed themselves from this sort of conversation because they're just, in general, afraid of the repercussions with their peers or what their reputation will be like if they continue or say anything about it. It seems like more and more people are pointing out the flaws in this wokeness society we're in. And they're not afraid to mention these sort of things. And good for them to say that. For the longest time, it was just some people that have the loudest voice. President Trump, for example. You might not say it the same way as President Obama, but I think they're agreeing. I think they agree on this. They just have the message a different way. And he's been someone out there that has never been afraid of what the repercussions of offending other people if trying to express yourself or your idea, whatever that may be. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Happy Halloween from Overnight America.
In about a half hour, our friend John Lindsay from PAST, the Paranormal Investigators here in St. Louis, Missouri, will be joining us in studio to talk about some very interesting examples of ghost stories locally and some of the ones they've encountered. And In fact, he may be throwing in some that are just made up. We don't know. That's kind of the thing tonight. We're going to actually let him tell some stories, and we'll try to determine if they're true or not true, as in not to determine if they happened or not, but to determine if is he making up this, is something he experienced, or is this something he actually experienced? What could it be? So being on the eve of Halloween, we'll do that for the final 2 hours of the show tonight between 10 and midnight or online at KMOX.com/ONA. So producer Mike, they're in commercial right now. World Series, something big just happened there. So last check, again, spoiler alert, Astros were up 2-1. So it was a one-run game, not a one-ball game. What happened?
Well, yeah, so at the start of the seventh, it was actually 2-0.
Okay.
Zach Greinke was still pitching for Houston. Anthony Rendon, as you said, homered in the top of the seventh to make it 2-1. And then Juan Soto walked after that. Zach Greinke was pulled for reliever Will Harris. And Harris's first batter faced was Howie Kendrick, who hit a two-run opposite field home run off the right field foul pole. It cleared the fence by about 3 or 4 feet. So now it's 3-2 Nationals in the top of the seventh inning.
So at the start of the top of the seventh, they were down 2-0. Now they're up 3-2. It's a big one for them. Wow. Do we know if Scherzer is still in for them? We'll find out here.
He is not.
Okay, so they're both out. So they're both starting pitchers are out now. Wow. All right, so Astros are pitching right now, still pitching. It's still in the top of the seventh, just one out. Very exciting time for the World Series. Hey, good news. If you're looking for a new job, you may have an opportunity to go down to Florida, and the Everglades are looking for some python hunters. That sounds like a joke I would have around the house. Honey, you're looking for some pythons? And then I'll flex for, look at these pythons, like Hulk Hogan style, start ripping my shirt. Look at these pythons. And then the wife laughs and laughs and laughs, not because it was funny, but because she doesn't see any pythons. I get it. But python hunter Tom Rahill explains how he and his team catch massive pythons. You know, there's a big, big market for this. There's people from all over the world that apply for this job to go hunt pythons. If you had to guess how much money they're paying the python hunters, you may be a little disappointed. You may be disappointed in how much you are actually getting paid. So let's look at the comparison. If you're living in San Francisco and you're being paid to take human feces off of the ground because it's a full-time job based on how many people are using the sidewalk as a urinal or a bathroom, you're paid over $100,000 to do that over in California, over $100,000 a year to clean up human feces off the street, okay? In some cases, it's scooping it up and then washing the pavement, scoop and wash, scoop and wash. You don't really need a lot of experience for something like that. Honestly, any high school student can do that, $100,000 for it in California because the need's there. When you're in the Everglades in Florida, they pay you $15 an hour to go hunt pythons on the Everglades side. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's a pretty, pretty serious job. I mean, you're not in life and death situations all the time, but you could very well get hurt. These things are active and biting. And like, here's the Miami Herald who did a story on them.
Now, normally you want to creep up behind it and not let it see you.
Look at Saint Lucie's, we're just ready to go. Those pythons have four rows of backward pointing fangs on the top, and they're razor sharp. They're designed to grasp and hold, so you want to avoid getting bitten if possible.
You know how many applicants they had for this? It's not just locally in the Miami or Florida general region, but they had people internationally that were applying because they felt they had a unique opportunity. They had some specialized skills in trapping these pythons because part of it is you just don't set a trap. It's not like you got a rodent in your house and you got to put a mouse trap out, or in the garage, you got to put a rat trap. It's not like you have a bat in the attic and you got to go get it out. It's not like there's a raccoon on the property and so it got into the cat trap or whatever it may be. Okay? These things are difficult to find. It's very Ace Ventura-like where he's going around and trying to find these animals. And it's like, you got to know what you're doing. You got to know how to track. You got to do this and that. So they had 2,600 applicants worldwide hoping to become a python removal agent. And it's a big deal down there. Only pays $15 an hour, not worth it. If you really want to get to that area, I got a feeling you won't have a problem finding other jobs that pay a lot better.
You get bitten, you want to just let it release you in its own time. You'll have two seasons.
Isn't that great advice? If you get bit, just let it release on its own time. Great advice.
You'll have two seasons, basically, for pythoning. There's the basking breeding, and then there's the nighttime road cruising.
The nighttime road cruising. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to get between two pythons breeding. You want to talk about an angry python? Separate it when it's breeding. Imagine what that thing would do.
The snakes can't handle the cold, so they come out and bask in the sun, and then they go get a date. December, January, they want to have a family, like kids, like everyone.
Yeah, just like everyone else. These pythons, they're just like us. We should probably treat them like humans. Maybe? No?
Is we're going to be looking for snakes that are coming up out of the water, through the jungle on the verge, and popping out onto the warmer road. That's why a vast majority of the pythons are captured on levee roads, is because that's where we can go easily.
All right, so that's where they try to capture these things. Why in the world would people do this? Like, what's the appeal of it? Do you like the danger aspect? Do you think that girls think it's cool? Like, oh, chicks dig. Chicks dig it big time. So that's why I want to be a python hunter. No, I don't think so. There are bonuses for each snake, so you can make more than $15 an hour. You have a one-year contract, no health benefits, $15 an hour. You're trying to catch pythons that could bite you, have razor-sharp teeth, four rows of them, and no health benefits, and there's 2,600 people that applied. You have to be over 18 years old, sign a waiver of liability, have no convicted felony. Why do you even care if they have a felony or not? At this point, no health insurance, $15 an hour, and they're catching giant python snakes. I think you could be a little relaxed on the qualifications, right? I think you'd be able to. So as people running around the Everglades have actually been the most effective way to catch the pythons, not just waiting and trying to get this. So I'm going to pass on that. Why is it that you can go clean up human feces off of the sidewalk in California and get paid $100,000, but when you have to find pythons, you can only get $15 an hour and no health benefits? Everything's backwards anymore. And you look, too, over 8,000 pythons have been killed or reported in the most recent years, a big majority of it picking up back in 2013. 2017 launched the paid removal programs, and it went through the roof. Wow. Oh, all right. Looks like we got a final here for the St. Louis Blues. Way to go, man. Blues get a win tonight. Is that a 2-1 win? Just final just got there. All right. Well, World Series is still going on. We're watching both of that, too. That's on Fox. Washington's still up 3-2. I missed it. Looks like they're going into the bottom of the seventh now, so switching up there. Up next, Extreme Haunted House. There's been some pushback on this, what they call torture chamber. We're going to get to that. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Happy Halloween. From Overnight America.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is kind of insane, but I did a quick search to find a Halloween compilation album because I was curious what's on it. And then what popped up was the Now That's What I Call Music franchise has a Halloween compilation album with it. And I don't know how much money they spend to try to get the rights to some of these songs, but they're the ones that have really stood the test of time. So then I went back and I thought, okay, which one of these, how many of these do they have right now? You remember that series? Now That's What I Call Music. It's up to 103. It's up to 103. So here's the track list for the Halloween special. So I think all of these are great Halloween options. So Thriller, Ghostbusters theme song, Time Warp, Black Magic, not the, it's by Little Mix, but I thought Black Magic was the Carlos Santana song. The Addams Family theme song. Meatloaf's in there. There's Monster Mash, Werewolves of London, The Purple People Eater, maybe, not really. Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff of the Fresh Prince. And there's a bunch of other songs I don't really, like MC Hammer's got one on there. Alice Cooper, Feed My Frankenstein. Now, that's a classic one for classic rock. And there's a bunch of other songs. Some of them I recognize, some I don't. But they got, like, you know, pretty large collection here. Doesn't get any better than the good old Monster Mash by any means. But I wanted to talk about this one story, and we're going to play the Monster Mash to end the hour today, because you know what? Why not? Because I like it. And I know that producer Ben will go crazy when he hears this tonight on replay. He's going to play that full blast. He's going to dance like no one is watching, because he'll be alone in here. You know it's going to happen. There's a story on NBC News. I think we covered the extreme haunted house, where there are certain places that will put you through the gauntlet through an extended amount of time. I forgot if it was like 24 hours. If you can survive it, there's a big cash prize. Well, people are upset about this, not because these things exist, but because of what happens inside of these haunted houses. They say that there's a giant application process, and they find the weakest of weak people, because the people that run these haunted houses are sadistic, and they purposely want to torture the people inside of it. It seems like one of the benefits of the job, doesn't it? If you run a haunted house, you want to scare people, and you get the benefits of doing that. So the haunted house that requires participants to get a doctor's note and sign a 40-page waiver before they enter is facing some pushback online. 31,000 people signed this petition calling for this to get shut down. I guess there's a couple of different ones out there. They call it Torture Chamber Under Disguise. It says when they do the screenings, they find the weakest, most easily manipulated people they want to do a haunt. They claim that the participants have been waterboarded, forced to eat things, had duct tape wrapped around their heads, said it's literally just a kidnapping and torture house. Some people have to speak to psychiatrists and get help, medical care, extensive injuries after the fact. Says, I propose at all locations where this is happening to shut down immediately. A little bit scary. I am not a haunted house type of guy. I don't like going through haunted houses. I don't like trying to scare. I don't like that part of it. I'll tell you, my kid loves it. We play certain, like, let's see if we can scare each other type of games, and he seems to enjoy that. I don't think he would handle all that well in a haunted house. Now, he's at the age of 5. I think last year when he was 4, we tried to play for him that Disney movie, Monsters, Inc. And if you remember the start of that cartoon, it's the whole premise is there's monsters, they got these magical doors, they can go through and scare kids in their bedrooms while they're sleeping, and they go back through the magical door, and you know, it's like they weren't there. So at the very start, it kind of shows the monster going in, scaring the girl. I showed that to my son once, and I thought, oh, it's a Disney movie. He might think it's fun because they're, you know, fluffy little monster cartoon type of character. Nope. Ruined it forever. So I don't think we're going to be doing any haunted houses. There were some times when I was in Boy Scouts growing up, we'd go to a haunted house through the Boy Scouts, and that was all right. And I've gone through other things that are meant to be scary. I just don't like the anxiety. I think you can have mind over matter going through one of these things, realizing they can't touch you. That's kind of like the deal, right? They're going to jump out, they're going to scare you, but they can't touch you. Kind of gives you a lot of security. And you know, then you can go to like the Fright Nights. I haven't made it out to any of the Fright Nights in town. What does the zoo do? They do something at the zoo, but it's, oh, Boo at the Zoo, which is really cool. But over at Six Flags, they have the Fright Nights. Still haven't made it to one of those yet. But I can never get or understand why anyone would want to put themselves through literal torture like they have through one of these things. So Russ McCammy is the owner of McCammy Manor, did not return NBC News' call, but he has said in past years that people have insisted things happened to them inside the house that never actually took place. They have the footage, they can show it to him and say, you know, if you think this happened to you, it actually didn't, here's the video. Said you'd be surprised over the years how many people have claimed something happened to them inside there. He told the interview to WFLA down in Florida. So the people that go through these need to have proof of medical insurance, pass a drug test, a 40-page waiver, and the haunt can last 10 hours or more. How would you like to be a worker at one of those things? A worker at this place, and you have to think, okay, I'm a 10-hour shift trying to scare someone. Sounds terrible. I knew some friends that used to do the haunted house. It's a really big business. They would take one of the old community centers I worked at, and someone would rent out the community center. They would turn the giant gymnasium into a haunted house. The gymnasium was huge. And it was a nice little facility. And, you know, some of the part-time workers that were working there did double duty and would try to haunt and scare people inside of something like that. It's a big industry, a big business. I think I'm just going to stick to enjoying the joy that my son gets when we're going door-to-door for trick-or-treating, and that's about it. One of the houses we visit has full-size candy bars, but they also have a lot of scary decorations. And this is, I remember what they did last year. It was great. So they had a couple of scary decorations. Obviously, when your kid's four, they look even scarier. And the person says, if you can make it to the door, you get a full-size candy bar. Well, that was enough motivation for him. Basically, the scare was one of those little robots that were on a motion sensor. So if you walked by it, it went a little bit crazy. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to do something pretty fun. Our friend, John Lindsay, we're going to welcome him back in studio. And I think he's going to have some guests with him. He's actually coming from the Blues game. Blues get the big win over the Wild, 2-1. So if you're driving home, way to go. Nice Blues win. They got one outside of overtime. How about that? Whoa. So go Blues. But he was at the game. He was walking down, and he's going to join us. He's part of PAST, which is a paranormal investigation organization, which I think is really, really cool. And we've had him on the PAST as, here as well. He was part of the great paranormal investigation we had live on the air, which is kind of creepy because we're in a studio where he discovered there are ghosts. So is the ghost still living here? I guess we could find out. He's going to have some of his instruments. Apparently, he's going to help us figure that out, too. What if this ghost that haunts this studio is just hanging around? I don't know. We'll find out. You could tweet at me, at Ryan Recker, or you can listen to the podcast by going to KMOX.com. Make sure to favorite it. Make sure you give us a nice little five-star review wherever you listen to podcasts for Overnight America. We'll be right back.
From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It got on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.